On this episode, I'm in conversation with Claire Cox and Helen Hughes. Welcome to another episode of the QI Guy in Conversation with podcast. I'm your host, the QI Guy, aka Jonathan O'Reilly. Thank you for joining me and thank you for your company. We've got a great episode lined up today. Another three-way conversation with myself and Claire Cox and Helen Hughes from the Patient Safety Learning organisation, kind of discussing a subject that's kind of close to my heart, which is patient safety. It's an area that I've worked in for the last kind of 10-15 years in one form or another. And Claire and Helen kind of discuss their history with patient safety and how they kind of came to interact with that as a kind of distinct discipline. And Helen talks about the organisation that she's chief executive of, which is a charity and a kind of organisation that's independent of the health system, but obviously works very closely with the health system. And I think Claire is doing some fantastic work in the healthcare system that she does, and I think is kind of at the forefront of bridging the gap between kind of patient safety, QI approaches that we all might recognise working in health and social care, and this idea of human factors and the tools and the different methodologies that human factors brings to understanding systems and understanding safety. And you hear Claire talk about that. She takes these tools and she just goes and tries them out, tests them out. She's not afraid to do that. She's not afraid to kind of admit that she doesn't know what she's doing and maybe things didn't go as well as they could have. But she's also learning, and I think those of us that are following Claire on Twitter or as she discusses part of that Patient Safety Managers Network are getting the benefit of what Claire is kind of doing and putting herself out there. So my conversation with Claire and Helen was great. I could have spoken to them for twice as long. Without further ado, here's my conversation with them. I'm delighted to be joined the podcast by Claire Cox, who's a patient safety lead in an NHS trust in England, and also Helen Hughes, who is the chief executive of Patient Safety Learning Hub. How are you both doing?
Great, thank you, Jonathan. Thanks for letting us on.
Yeah, very good. Really looking forward to the conversation.
Well, I think first things first, Claire, I think it's me that has to thank you guys for coming on. I don't let anybody come on this. I'm usually scrambling about looking for people to come on and have a conversation with me. So thank you for your time. I think we're going to talk about something that's kind of near and dear to my heart and is an area that I've been working in for the last longer than I care to, care to commit to a recording, which is patient safety, because that's the field that you guys both work in. Claire, I wonder if you want to kind of start us off by telling us about, you know, how did you get involved in patient safety, and then when we become yourself, Helen?
Well, I would say I'm fairly new to patient safety. I've been a nurse for 25 years, but been in patient safety role for around 2 years. So when I started in patient safety, I'd always say, oh, I'm new. I don't, you know, I'm not from patient safety. And I always kept being told, but you're a nurse, you're always involved in patient safety, which, you know, I didn't even think about. But looking back, yes, I've always been involved in patient safety for a long time, but not as a formal role. I got into doing this role, probably it started in 2016 when I was working at a trust and did some initiatives and won a patient safety prize for the Academic Health Science Network where I'm from. And that sort of like spurred me on to do more. I then went on to do a DARSI fellowship, and that was also involved in patient safety and why we're not sharing learning. Which then sort of like led me through a sort of like a weird path where I met Helen and just blatantly asked for a job with her, and worked with Helen for a time in patient safety learning, and then wanted to get back in to patient safety, but in a more formalised role. So that's when I went off and went into patient safety management.
It's really interesting. It's an interesting comment there about nursing and being a nurse and whether or not you thought patient safety was your job or part of your job. That's interesting. Mm. Helen, so how did you come into patient safety in this patient safety learning hub?
Well, the point that Claire makes about everyone that works in healthcare being involved in patient safety is probably such a key theme in how I got into it, because I was in an executive leadership role. I was a director at a health authority in London. Oh, this is a long time ago. And I was working in corporate governance and very interested in clinical governance, what my clinical colleagues were doing. And I read Organisation with a Memory, which was Cillian Donald's report that came out in 2000. Which really brought the two together and basically said we need to be much clearer about the purpose of healthcare, that if we are living with the rate of unsafe care that we are, and that we're not doing as much about avoidable harm, we don't understand that we need to operate as a safe system, then we will continue to have the personal tragedies that affect so many people. And I'd had personal family experience of that had driven my interest. And I suppose in the last 20 years, I've done a number of roles, which is to try and make patient safety the core purpose of everyone's life that works in healthcare. So it is something that's obviously clearly very dear to clinicians. But actually, if you're a procurement manager or you're a finance director or you're a non-exec or you're a porter or anyone and everyone is contributing to safety. And that's kind of the lessons we learned from some of the other industries that put safety at the core of what they've done. So I've done a number of roles, both in the UK and the National Patient Safety Agency, and helped set up with colleagues in Geneva the World Health Organization Global Programme on Patient Safety, and in coming back into the UK, wanted to get back into patient safety and had the privilege of helping set up Patient Safety Learning, which is a charity we've been running for about 3 years now. Being a kind of, we talk about ourselves being an independent voice for patient safety, kind of doing what charities do, which is awareness raising, speaking truth to power, saying more needs to be done. And then some of it is, we are increasingly moving into the, well, it's all well and good knowing what needs to be done. How do we help make it better? So what are the how-to tools that clinicians and patient safety managers like Claire, what do they need to help make it happen in practice? So some of our ambition as patient safety learning is to be a vehicle for bringing networking, sharing knowledge through our hub, through networks, but supporting good people doing better things with resources on how to put that stuff in practice. Yeah, and when I got off the call with Claire when we first met, I kind of thought I need her to come and work with us. But she beat me to it because she said, "Can I have a job?" I was like, "Yeah." Probably didn't meet any HR process really, but it was a sublime appointment helping to set up patient safety learning.
Fantastic. So, Claire, obviously you're in a kind of patient safety role, kind of operationally and a board. So how do you interact with the patient safety hub, you know, in terms of what Helen's describing there? How does that then help you in doing your job on the ground, and how could it help others doing their job?
Well, when I worked with Helen, I was solely working for patient safety learning. And one of my jobs was to go out and source what's going on outside in the NHS and bringing it back into the hub so other people can access it. So if someone in, say, Durham was doing an excellent project, how can I bring that back to the hub and then share it more widely? So everything, all the resources that, you know, I try to upload, all the big sort of like reports are all on there, right down to the very small initiatives that haven't been written up in journals. That's all in there as well. So it's a lot of very small things and very big things, but things that are useful. But one way the hub is completely different to anything else is the community that feed into it. Mm-hmm. So as a very practical person and someone who likes to be with people and interact with others, I found that the hub was great getting resources out. But how do you use these resources? So there's a lot of theoretical things in there because patient safety is changing. It's quite a new science as well with human factors and what have you. But translating that theoretical things that I see on the hub into practice, there was a gap there. So we had a chat with Helen and we said we need a community. A community that can interact with each other in a safe space. And that's where we had the opportunity to create a patient safety management network. So that is how I use the hub and how I have been able to create a network. Well, I haven't. We have as a big network. We've done that ourselves.
Right. So the patient safety managers network is kind of fallen out of the work of the hub. I didn't realize that. That's really interesting. So I mean, you mentioned this, so let's talk about it, because there is this patient safety managers network which I had the privilege of kind of speaking at once and sharing a story around. You know, who's that community open to? You know, what type of stuff does it cover? Can anybody get involved, or is it, you know, kind of closed to patient safety professionals?
Well, that's an interesting one. When we first sat down to think about it, it was myself and one other patient safety manager who was keen. And we were going to keep it to people like us. We were in patient safety management. So we looked at incidents, you know, duty of candor, all of these sort of like what I thought, because I was very naive at the time, or just patient safety managers. That's it. It's quite straightforward. But then when we opened it up, I realised, oh, crikey, we've got all different job titles. We're from different backgrounds. Patient safety managers are also risk managers. They are also compliance managers. They're quality improvement. They are heads of nursing. They are doctors. They're physios. They're pharmacists. And I'm like, crikey, I'm going to have to broaden the criteria of who can come in now. And I'm still struggling to find out who can come in and who can't come in. And it's really difficult and tricky to say, well, actually, no, you can't come in, because I think everyone has something to offer. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, it's just open to people in the United Kingdom, because we have people from other countries wanting to join. And I don't think we're ready for that yet. But there's to keep our safe space. There is a little vetting process that goes through. So quite often I'll speak to the person who wants to join, or make sure they've got an NHS Net account. I can Google them. I can go on Twitter to find out who they are. But usually they've got NHS Net accounts. I know what hospital they come from, because we want to make sure that we've got people in there that we can speak freely. Because the patient safety community can be quite secretive. Mm-hmm. But we've got pushing now 400 members. So that's all word of mouth. It's, you know, it's just fantastic.
Can I just sort of add to that? Because I think one of the things that we've put in for an award, haven't we, Claire? So fingers crossed. But in pulling that together, I think one of the things that Claire said that was really very powerful is that this isn't gradist. You know, the NHS, I don't know if it's like it in Scotland, but, you know, people are often referred to by their grade. It drives me nuts. But, you know, oh, it's a grade three, it's a grade five, whatever. Absolutely. You've got assistant directors level. You've got people at a much lower level. You've got a real mix of people. And I think one of the lessons that I kind of learn so much all the time, because it's, as Claire says, it's a new area that's still developing, is if you look at high reliability organisations, they always talk about deference to expertise. And that's not up the hierarchy, so you have to defer to your directors. Actually, the people that are probably more expert are the frontline clinicians or the frontline patient safety managers. So you've got wonderful discussion and dialogue at these drop-in, weekly drop-in sessions that Claire chairs, where people ask questions, answer, raise issues. And it's, you know, people know their names because you're on team, so you can see the names. But it's not that people won't challenge or discuss or raise issues. They'll do across the whole network. And last week, I think there were over 70, weren't they, dropped in on a Friday. So just to add a little bit to that. So it's mainly the drop-in. That's the vibrancy of it. But to support that, what we do on the hub is in a private space on the community. We have the resources. Sometimes because it's entirely private and it's unattributable, but if there are themes and issues that would be useful to share with people that haven't been able to turn up, I will, or one of my colleagues at Patient Safety Learning, will write them up. We'll write that up as a blog that will go more broadly, or it might be, we did one on CAS alerts, and I've just finished doing some notes of that so that people that aren't physically there can capture it, and then maybe that'll spin off into other conversations or some working groups, subgroups that will start developing good practice. So there's quite, you know, we're making up as we go along, aren't we, Claire, really?
We are. And because we do these every week, I thought I'd be struggling to try and find people to come and talk. But I think some of the best conversations we've had is just within our group, where we're discussing a problem. And then, like, we've had discussions on duty of candor before, and we're struggling with a few issues. So we can ask the group, what issues do you have? And then I can go out and I can try and find someone to come in to speak. So we've had the CQC in, we're having AVMA coming in a few weeks' time. We have patients that come in. And also, like I said, about translating theory into practice, I've said recently that I was really struggling with an AXI map. I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing with an AXI map. So putting a call out, and now we've got someone coming in to do a session on an AXI map. And there is no way that I would be able to access, or anybody else would be able to access, that sort of training and bespoke training of what we want to use it for and how we can adapt it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you've kind of got all the bases covered there. You know, the patient safety learning has the resources and the kind of response to what's out there. You've got that kind of safety managers network, which is giving you a community. And I think you're absolutely right, Claire. I often find that sometimes having a different voice in the room, a voice that people don't know, delivering a message can be really powerful. But I think when you've got that community and the expertise within that community, they will have the answers, you know, and they will know what needs to be talked about. And certainly, when I came along to the network and spoke about learning from excellence and great ex, I took lots of learning away, and I'm still on a journey around people who are sharing examples of appreciative inquiry and how they were building on not just noticing what works well, but actually building on that learning for the benefit of the organisation. So what
can I mention one thing? Sure. I mean, because also what we do more broadly in the hub is obviously share learning in the way that Claire's identified. But, you know, there was a colleague on the one of the network meetings a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, oh, they're doing some great stuff at their trust. So I contacted her and said, can we have a conversation? Now what that's done is made me think, actually, we've probably got a piece of work we do this patient safety spotlight series where we interview people that work in patient safety, and we find out a bit about them and their interests and what, you know, what they're about. So, you know, again, this building this wider community. But it's made me reflect that, you know, there are organizations that are on patient safety improvement journeys, and this particular organization, they've done an awful lot on some of the culture change and some of the process change, and they've got a really strong leader in the chief exec. And so in talking to the assistant director, I think we're going to kick off some sort of patient safety organizational journey series of interviewing. And so it's picking up the kind of operational how-to tools for the real practical theory into practice issues that Claire said, but also at an organisation level, what do leaders need to do, whether they're executive or non-exec as well. So we are trying to go all the way up and down the system and the breadth of the system, as Claire said. So you've got people from, you know, NHS supply chain, you've got CQC, you've got regulators, NHS improvement with all the changes that are happening on PSIRF and stuff. So it really is quite a complex matrix, but, you know, everyone's welcome, aren't they, Claire?
They are.
And it absolutely sounds like it's helping people to bridge that gap between the theory and then how you actually turn that into practice and supporting one another. So yeah, if you can get involved, we'll put some stuff with the social media and different details in the show notes, so people can look you guys up. So I want to put you in the spot, because you kind of mentioned a couple of times during your the discussion there about patient safety being relatively new, and speaking about human factors. I mean, what changes have you noticed in healthcare around attitudes and behaviours with regards to patient safety over the last 10, 20 years? Have you seen things evolve and change, or has that happened organically, not as fast as you would have hoped? What's been your reflections?
Well, as I said, Jonathan, I've only been in it for 2 years, as in within the process of patient safety management. And so I can't say historically, but all my reflections I have at the moment, because we've got the new patient safety incident response framework coming in, I'm all for that and I just cannot wait. But on the ground, the current way of investigation management, incident management, it's quite long, it's drawn out, it's very admin heavy, and very reliant on one person. It doesn't engage everybody in that system. So with the introduction of PSIRF, it cannot come quick enough in my book. And I've already started doing some PSIRF-y bits where I work, and the appetite for that among clinical staff is huge. They are all up for the engagement in doing things differently. They're very excited, and they are, you know, they are desperate for the change, because they no one goes to work to do a bad job, and that, you know, they want to make things good. So I think the next few years would be really exciting.
So mine's a bit more of a jaded response.
That's okay.
So I'm you know, I'm very hopeful, but as someone very erudite said, I can't remember who, hope is not a strategy. So it's kind of 20 years ago, well, if I can reflect, we published a report, patient safety learning, because we write kind of policy pieces and awareness pieces, and we issued one called Mind the Implementation Gap 2 or 3 weeks ago. And what we looked at was this kind of revolving door of major problem, inquiry, investigation, commitment to action, and then really, are we taking the action? Is it making a difference? And what we looked at was statutory inquiries, non-statutory inquiries, investigations, coroner's preventing future deaths reports, a whole series of examples of where we're doing an awful lot of work in this area, much more so than we were 20 years ago. There has been great progress. Mm-hmm. But are we having, has that progress been about insight rather than sharing learning for action and then improvement and evaluation? So I still think there's much more we need to do. And I think the recent examples in maternity, where you've got the Ockenden report drawing on very similar themes that were in the Morecambe Bay inquiry, and we're seeing the East Kent inquiry that'll be reporting in September, and there's a campaign to have an inquiry into maternity care at Nottingham. And these inquiries, you know, much is needed for redress and learning, but unless we take that commitment into action, then we're giving ourselves a false assurance that things have changed. And you know, just you look at the stark figures. The NHS improvement strategy in England talks about 11,000 avoidable deaths, and that was pre-COVID, so it's probably a lot more in the last few years. But you know, those are the statistics that were talked about 20 years ago. So in patient safety learning, part of our raison d'etre is to say, well, what are the transformational changes that we need to do? And I can spout for a long time on this, so I'll just keep it brief. But Don Berwick, who is the ex-president of IHI, talks about, he doesn't use this language, but he talks about patient safety being programmatic, or as I put it, as initiativitis, lots of separate initiatives within individual organisations or across organisations. And I think patient safety has to be a unifying theme. It has to be the core purpose of healthcare, and that has to be the focus on the outcome of what we want to achieve. So if we don't get leaders, execs, non-execs, clinical leaders, all putting it central to what they do, then we won't get the change. So we, in 20 years, we have seen, you know, we now have a global program, global action plan for patient safety. That was never understood or done. You know, we've much more understanding of the importance of patient engagement and patient safety. We understand why toxic and blame cultures really don't help us make improvements, but we're still not doing enough to turn our knowledge into action. And that's kind of the point we made in our report that kicked us off at Patient Safety Learning, called the Blueprint for Action, which was looking at the foundations of patient safety, summarising the research evidence from 20 years of what we need to do. So I think the main focus for me is capturing the enthusiasm and commitment of amazing leaders like Claire and her colleagues who are on that network, but actually giving them the tools and resources to implement and the leadership commitment to do that. So it's not, patient safety shouldn't be just a marginal program that you get good people to do. It has to be at the core of individual organizations, and that's what we're about in patient safety learning, trying to make that happen.
And do you think that we view safety in healthcare the same way that they view safety in other industries? You know, often industries are described as kind of safety critical. Claire, and thinking about what you'd mentioned before about you being a nurse and not necessarily seeing patient safety as your role, do you think there's something missing there, that people don't see safety and keeping people safe and that being part of their thinking about their process and their outcomes, leading to things like the Ockenden report and Morecambe Bay and these other things, that we don't have that same mindset as, say, somebody who works in aviation or rail or nuclear or these other industries, which have, you know, get much better safety records, it would appear, than we have in healthcare?
The trouble is with healthcare, it's very complex and complicated. And I mean, we've been discussing human factors for a long time in our network, and they use human factors in other industries. And what we've spoken about in other industries is that we're healthcare and we're different. We've always said that. So some people choose to listen, some people choose not to listen. So it's really difficult, but we need healthcare safety science as something on its own, I think, because it is very different. It's not a conveyor belt of people coming in. It's not, you know, you're dealing with an aircraft with moving parts that you can fix, and it's fairly static. We are a huge organisation with lots of different components, with and they're all with people. So everything sort of like moves at different paces and it's all intermingled. It's just really complex. So I would like it if we had something for our own for healthcare. But we can learn from other industries, but we are not airline pilots and we are not nuclear physicists. We are healthcare workers, and I think we need a special science just for us, and I don't think we're quite there yet, which is why I didn't think I had anything to do with patient safety when I was a nurse. And looking back, I feel really sad now that that I didn't think I was part of that. Because obviously when you take that NASA, when you ask the man, you know, who was sweeping up, what do you do? And he says, I'm putting here to put a man on the moon. And I feel really sad that as a nurse, I couldn't say I'm involved in patient safety. And that needs to change. That needs to change.
Can I comment on that as well?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I think there was very, in the early days, it was maybe a naivety of thinking that the knowledge from other industries would be easy to translate into healthcare. And that's clearly not been the case, because healthcare is, as Claire says, complex and complicated. It doesn't mean there aren't lessons to learn, but the application of those needs to understand the context. So talking to some of the human factors experts that we engage in and that actually have been on the hub, you know, people like Marsha Suzanne and then, you know, Paul Bowie very well in Scotland, you know, it's about how to apply it to healthcare and finding ways of doing that. And I'll just give a couple of examples. You know, we know that one of the strongest indicators of effective clinical outcomes and safe outcomes is the effectiveness of the multidisciplinary team. And yet we train people as uni professionals, as their own tribes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we just assume that when they come out and they're in a different environment, they will work perfectly well as a team. And we don't give enough attention to that. So it's not that, you know, we just send everyone a crew resource management training courses, however useful they might be. It's much more fundamental about how we design people's roles, mm-hmm. how we establish a culture around them, and that how we as organizational system leaders give people the tools for the job. I mean, I just am aghast, because I don't have a clinical background, but I'm just aghast at how many times when you read investigations, you talk to clinicians, they are having to make life and death judgments for patients in front of them, whether it's in primary care or secondary care, when they don't have the right information around them because the IT systems don't work or there's no interoperability or whatever. So, you know, when there are new investments in IT, are we designing safety into that? Are we designing it to be safe to use, not just, you know, off the shelf? So there's how we think about how we organize, lead and manage our healthcare system can be informed by how other industries do it, but I think we have to find our own way. And the last point on this is that I think talking to some of the colleagues who are part of the clinical Chartered Institute of Ergonomics and Human Factors, they've said things actually I think healthcare can teach other industries, because it's not taking simple stuff from aviation or rail and applying it to health. The application in health is so complex. There's a lot of learning there that could benefit other industries if we work together to make that happen.
Oh, absolutely. I think when we do get things right and we do take things from other industries and translate them, I think there's learning that can go back. And you know, healthcare is very complex, Claire, and there is a spectrum. You know, there are parts of healthcare that are ultra safe, and parts that are less so. But I think it's a good shout actually about a kind of, you know, specific healthcare safety science approach. They kind of actually underpin some of what you're talking about there, Helen, because we are, when we're looking at those challenges, we're invariably looking at how do other industries do this, and sometimes that translation of tools and techniques and processes to make sense of some of these problems within a healthcare context can sometimes do more harm than good, but can in the right hands, I suppose, help us. So listen, thank you both for the conversation today. It's actually been really, really helpful, and I'm sure it's given folk a lot to think about around patient safety and patient safety within their role, not just nurses, but doctors, EHPs, and you mentioned, Helen, procurement managers and all sorts of backroom staff as well, because I mean, essentially what we all do working in healthcare is about delivering safe health and care to folk. So anything you want to kind of promote, where can we find you on Twitter? Are you on Instagram, LinkedIn, anything like that, where people can look you up to find out more information about what yous are doing and the organizations you're working with?
So can I go first? So I'll plug the hub, which is the learning platform. So we'll put the URLs in, but that's www.pslhub.org. That is free for anyone to use. I mean, literally, I mean, we'd like people to register because then we know who you are and that we can send you a newsletter, which is really good. But anyone and the people that use it, you know, we've got patients on there, we've got clinicians, we've got industry leaders, we've got execs, we've got non-execs. I mean, I don't think there's, and I, increasingly, I think of the people that read the content, we've had over three quarters of a million people reading it since we launched it just over 2 years ago. So there's good stuff there that people are coming back to. So I would plug that and hope people will get some benefit of the content, but can contribute to it as well. If they've got a story to tell, they've got some good practice, they've got something they want to, you know, let us know. So there's definitely we're quite active on social media, on LinkedIn. Claire will say more about the Patient Safety Management Network, but yeah, our way of communicating is kind of through the hub, through social media. We've got our own website. I'll give you all the details to the phone.
Sure.
We just love people to kind of join the journey, contribute. Yeah, be great.
And then to join the network, you'd first have to be a member of the hub, and then it'll come up with a tick box whether you want to join our Patient Safety Management Network. And then we have a Twitter page, which is at PSMN999.
We'll put the link in the show notes. People won't
Yeah.
have to remember that as they flick between their podcast app and Twitter. Great, that's excellent. I didn't realize you had to sign up to the hub to get on the managers network. I've clearly not done that, so that's something I'm going to go and do, because I do look with envy at the Twitter feed for the Patient Safety Managers Network and think that would have been a great session to be at, and I wish I was there.
And
So I'll
the
be
reason
doing.
we do that is that so that we can do all the admin stuff behind Claire and the patient safety manager, so they don't have to worry about that. That, you know, it is a network for managers by manager, you know, the management network. You know, we're very much as a sort of active supporter, but some of that kind of tediousy adminy stuff we take off Claire's shoulders. So that means that we can sign you up and send you the invites. So yeah, we'll do all that.
For the people, by the people, as they say.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you once again, Helen and Claire. It's been a delight.
Oh,
Thank
lovely.
you.
We love talking, don't we, Claire?
Oh, we do.
A really enjoyable conversation with Claire and Helen there. I loved chatting to both of them about a subject, as I said, that's dear to my heart and an area that I've kind of worked in, and we have a similar mindset, a similar view in things and patient safety, so we have a lot of common ground, and maybe you do too, listening to that. I would definitely Follow them both on Twitter. Their Twitter details are in the show notes, as well as information and links to Patient Safety Learning website, the Patient Safety Learning Hub. And as we kind of discussed on there as well, signing up for that, new members, certainly there's a little checkbox where you can indicate your desire to join that Patient Safety Managers Network, which is open to folk within the UK. And I would absolutely, if that's something that you think would be useful to the work that you're doing and would help you, I would absolutely sign up to that. It's a great network and the guys are doing fantastic work. So again, thank you for listening to the QI Guy in Conversation with podcast. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We are available on most of the major platforms: Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Stitcher, of course, also on our home platform of Anchor. So give us a little 5 stars, a little review, it all helps. And of course, you can follow the QI Guy on Twitter @theQI_guy. And until next time, take care.